excuse for some of you will just call on you. You ought to be ready instead of in season analysis.
Right.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, that's what
they're talking to Brother Josh about. We're thinking about doing some instant in season and out of stuff. And instead of having a schedule. Amen. So be prepared. Luke chapter number 7 and verse number 20 reads, "And when the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" Look we for another. Are you who you say you are? Are you the real deal? God bless you in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Again, I'm so thankful for all of our guests being here. I would that every one of you pray for me. My voice is still recovering, still battling this sickness. And I am better. I finally did go to the doctor. I had enough people aggravated at me. So I finally went to the doctor, and as they were concerned about me having getting pneumonia, and my doctor was also, but they took x-rays and all that kind of stuff, and I don't have pneumonia, so thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, I'm getting better, thank the Lord, and I'm going to preach, amen, in Jesus' name. I believe most of us understand that, and I say I believe, maybe some of us don't know this, but let me just, in short form, give you the understanding that John the Baptist was considered the forerunner of the Messiah that was to come. He was preparing what the scripture said, preparing the way of the Lord. He was making known the way of Jesus Christ and his entry. And of course, that was prophesied throughout the scripture. Jesus was the one in which Isaiah spoke of in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. It said, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name," notice it says his name, singular, amen, "his name shall be called Wonderful, comma, Counselor, comma, the Mighty God." This child that's going to be born, this son that's going to be given, is going to be called the Mighty God. Amen. The Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. So this is the one that John was preaching about and preparing the way for. So in our reading there in chapter number 7, if you would read back, you would find that John is imprisoned and he is about to be beheaded. And he asks his disciples to do something for him. He says, "I want you guys to go to Jesus. And basically, I want you to ask him if he's the real deal or not. I want to know if he's really the one that we are after." After he had spent all of his life and all of his ministry telling everybody, every person that he possibly could find, he was preaching to them to repent of their sins. And he was preaching to them that there was one coming after him that was mightier than he himself, in whose shoes he was not worthy to latch, and so on and so forth. And he was building up the Messiah. And as a matter of fact, at one particular point, as Jesus is walking there, he reaches out his hand and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He introduces to those around and he says, "This is the one that you're looking for. This is the Messiah. This is your Savior."
Hallelujah. Right, right.
Amen. But now he's in a prison cell. Now, after all of his life is being weighed out in the balances, he's got a question.
Yeah.
He's got a question. Is he real?
Yeah. Is this all worth it? Is this all what it's cracked up to be? As he's looking at, and he's going through the pages of his life, and he's behind those prison walls, the question is there. Is it all worth it? Have I lived my entire life for nothing? All the preaching, all the witnessing, all that I've done in service for God, has it been worth it? The real question comes down to, John was really asking a question that many people are asking today. And that is Jesus better? Is Jesus better? Is he better than all the other things that I've had in my life? And he's wondering now, is Jesus' baptism, because he said that there's one that's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. He's saying, is his baptism going to be better than the baptism of what I've preached? Is he better than all of the prophets before? Is he better than all of those that God may send along the way to change the environment of the world? Is he better than the angels? Is he better than anything this world has ever seen? So therefore, he tells his disciples, go find Jesus. This is where many of the people of our world and our society are at today. They want to know if the Jesus that you talk about is better than what they already have.
Right.
They want to know because they hear you say, oh, come to my church. But is the Jesus that you serve any better than the Jesus that such and such church has down the road? Is your Jesus that you proclaim to have better? Is this really better than what they already have? You see, lives need to be changed, and people need to be delivered, and relationships need to be mended, and families need healing in a tremendous way. Matter of fact, it's so rare to hear anybody anymore that hasn't been married at least more than once. Are you picking at us? No? Families don't stay together. Families have been destroyed by the enemy of this world. And people want to know that when you say Jesus can heal your family. They want to know, is that Jesus that you're talking about better? Is he real? Is he real or not? Is he worth coming and checking out? If he is the one that can deliver me from the habits that are destroying my life, can that Jesus do that?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Oh, Jesus, help me. Help me, help me, help me. Can I say this morning that that's why it's important that our witness doesn't look like the rest of the quote-unquote world's witness. We can't allow ourselves just to have the average Jesus that so many preach about, because there's a lot of people preaching about a Jesus, but they don't preach about the Jesus that really does save and deliver. There are folks today that are in churches that are still bound. And even today in this church, that you may be bound by alcohol or bound by drugs or bound by certain addictions of this world. And you can't seem to break free of them. And you have that question, is Jesus really better?
Yes.
Is he really better for me and my life? If our faith is helpless, if our faith is hopeless as the rest of the world's faith, then what do we really have to offer them? There are people that are in this building even today that have been, and I'm not here to bash any other religion, because it's not about religion. Religion is the number one thing that has messed up our entire society from the very beginning. It don't matter what the sign says. It doesn't matter what placement you have in the phone book. It doesn't matter any of that. Really what matters is your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about religion, because the Pharisees and the Sadducees had religion and they killed Jesus. They had religion and they killed Jesus. So it's not about religion. It's not about all of that sort of thing. It's about, where is your personal relationship with God? That's what was happening with John right then and there. He knew all the Bible. He knew all this stuff was happening. And he knew about the supernatural. But at the end, when he was facing death, he was really wondering, is it all worth it? Is Jesus better? Is this really the Messiah? Is this the one I should be looking for? Or should I be looking for another? Right. Now, you would think it would have already been settled in his mind. But I believe that John probably didn't think that he was going to end that way for him. He probably had something else in mind. He probably had some other end in mind for himself. But then when we skip down and we go to the very next verse there, in verse number 20, and ask, should we look for another? But in 21, they said, in that same hour, they went and they looked. They went and they saw Jesus. They found him where he was. And in that same hour that the question was being asked, they made it to Jesus. That same hour, he cured many of their infirmities, their plagues, of their evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. I'm going to tell you, John's disciples found him doing exactly what he was supposed to be doing. John was preparing the way for the Messiah, and Jesus was doing exactly what John had preached and had said he was going to do. It's interesting to me that when these men showed up wanting to know if Jesus was the real deal or not, they found Jesus healing. They found him delivering. They found him setting people free from the things that were destroying their lives.
Yes.
And I want to say here at Souls Harbor, this church, that those of you that belong here and you call this your church, I want to make sure and set for the challenge today. Is Jesus better?
Amen.
Is Jesus better? I wonder sometimes what people who are looking for the real deal, do they find what they've been looking for when they come to Souls Harbor? Do they find us doing? Do they hear us doing what we ought to be doing? Do they see miracles taking place? Do they see deliverance? Do they realize that this is a soul-saving station? You know, Souls Harbor has a nice little ring to it, and a lot of people make comments about it. But if we aren't a harbor for people's soul, then we ought to be convicted for false advertising. Amen. This ought to be a safe place for a soul to come. They ought to feel safety and security. They ought to feel strength. They ought to feel healing. They ought to feel deliverance from the Almighty. What happened when they come? I wonder if they find people, lives being healed and being set free, and not just a bunch more of carnality of what they already see, a bunch of fussing and backbiting and gossip and all those other things that happen already in the world. I'm going to tell you what, they don't need any more gossip. They don't need any more backstabbing. They got enough of that in the world. What they need is a friend that's going to love them, that's going to be true to them, that's going to be real. We don't have our faults, and we don't have our problems, and we don't have struggles, and so on and so forth, because we still got to live in this flesh, and we still got to fight this carnality.
Yes.
God forbid that we're not people that talk about a Jesus that we don't really display. I want to make sure I'm displaying a Jesus that I am preaching about, that I do believe about. Amen. I don't want it just to be empty talk. Come on now. It's important for us as a church to answer that question, even ourselves. Is Jesus better? Is Jesus better? Now we can, I see many of us shaking our head, yes, but I really wonder, do we really believe that? Do we really believe that Jesus is the only way? Do we believe that He's the truth, the life? Do we believe that He's the deliverer? Do we believe that He's a healer, like the Word of God says He is? We can give a good old nod, and we can clap our hands a little bit, but do we really believe that Jesus can set somebody free immediately? That can be dead, stone, drunk, but God can sober them. Do we still believe that God can heal cancer? I believe He can, and He has, and He's going to do it some more. Souls Harbor needs to be a church where Jesus is better. Where Jesus is better. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we don't need Him to find more imprisonment. We don't need Him to find more shackles and bonds and chains and that sort of thing. What we need Him to find is real, true deliverance by the almighty hand of God. They need Jesus. They need forgiveness. They need grace. They need mercy. They need long-sufferingness. They need the love of God to be spread abroad in their lives. Their life to be put back together. Right. They're broken. They're undone. They're hurt.
Yes.
They need healed. Verse 22 goes on, and Jesus, turning to them, He answers and says unto them, "Go your way and tell John the things ye have seen and heard." Look around, guys. Look around, fellas. Just like I said today, I'm going to tell you, God raised that man who was virtually dead in ICU just 10 days ago off of that bed, and he just walked out of the hospital, and God can do it again. I said, God can do it. And I'll tell you this, that good man is 29 years old, as strong, has everything going for him. Well, he said, I laid on my bed, and that's all I could think about. God, if you help me and get me out of this, I want to know who you are. I want to know what living for you is all about. I will tell you what, God has given him a new lease on life where he didn't know God. He's reaching out for him now. And he is giving God glory for raising him up. He knows he was almost dead. And he knows it was God.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus says to him, go tell him what you've seen and what you've heard. How the blind see. How the lame walk. How the lepers are cleansed. How the deaf ears are opened. How the dead are raised. And how the poor is being preached unto the gospel. He gives them all these examples. I don't know what would happen in that same hour. Because the Bible said in that same hour, they saw what was going on. I don't know if he healed, if he touched somebody's blinded eyes. A lame man got up and walked. A leper walked over and was healed. A deaf man. And then they did it. Well, we're just going to pop this thing off and we're going to bring in a dead guy and we're going to... I don't know if all that happened in the same hour, but that's the way the Bible describes it. He said, go tell John what you see and what you heard. You're hearing the dumb talk right now. You're hearing them speak with clarity. You're hearing and you're seeing some things right now being done.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Praise the Lord.
So while that was happening, I'm going to tell you what he was saying. Go tell John what you just said.
Right.
You see, Jesus' ministry was something that the world had never seen before.
Yes.
Of all the false Christs, of all the promised false Messiahs, of all of the religious stuff that was promised, of all of these things, nothing came through. nobody was doing what Jesus was doing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Woo. Jesus came doing the miraculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus came doing something else that nobody else was doing. Blinded eyes were not walking away from the church house blind. Deaf ears were not walking away still deaf. I know I said it before, I'll say it again. I don't know why in the world we got a deaf ministry. Unless the deaf ministry has to do with absolute healing, that they are deaf no more. Well, we're going to learn sign language so we can speak to the deaf. No, we need to start speaking to the deafness so the deaf can hear. In Jesus' name. Because he still heals the deaf ears. He came making up the difference where others only dreamed that they could do. So my question is still, what are we, the people of God? Let me rephrase this. What are those that come to Souls Harbor going to find? Are they going to find healing for their sickness?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, yes. I'm just making sure that. Are they going to find deliverance from their addiction?
Yeah.
Is this Jesus that I'm preaching about today, is he real?
Yeah.
Is somebody that can and will and still does deliver? Yeah. Now, I've met way too many people that did the AA and NA and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? They always end up right back in there.
Yeah.
And they always keep on saying, I am an alcoholic. I am a drug addict. I am this. I'm going to tell you, when Jesus gets a hold of your life and you get filled with his spirit, you can stand up and say, I am no longer an alcoholic. And I know they'll pick you out right then and there. Because I got testimony of that. Brother Barrett Willie, that exact thing happened to him. He came one Sunday and got the Holy Ghost, just like the Bible said. And he had AA on Monday night, Brother Dan. And he walked in there with a smile on his face. And everybody was looking at him saying, what happened to you? He said, I went to church last night, and I got the Holy Ghost, like the Bible said. My name's Derek Willie, and I'm an alcoholic. He said, but I am no longer an alcoholic. Jesus Christ has set me free. And let me tell you today, it's been 26 or 7 years since he has tasted or touched an alcoholic beverage. Had any desire for it? Because when Jesus delivers you, he'll deliver you all the way. Preaching to you about Jesus, that is better. He is better. Amen. I've had multiple people bound to nicotine that one day God delivered them from that, and they never went back. God took it out of their mouth, took the taste out of their mouth, took everything out of their mouth. I don't want it no more. God. History. And I'm going to tell you, you can use the gum and you can use the patches and you can use all the things.
Jesus.
And you're still going to fight and struggle and try because you're trying to do it all by yourself. But let me introduce you to a man named Jesus. You don't have to do it by yourself. You don't have to try and struggle and fight and wrestle with your flesh. You can say, Lord, I'm sick and tired of this device, this addiction, this pain, this suffering. All this, I'm sick of it, God. I need some deliverance, and I need it today.
Thank
you, Lord. Fact is, you got to get serious. I said you got to get serious. Amen. 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 Are they going to, when they come to this church, are they going to find the are they going to find world changers? Like was spoken in the book of Acts, chapter number 17 and verse number 6, of the house of Jason. Anybody ever read about Jason in the Bible? Say, I didn't know there was a Jason in the Bible. We always talked about Peter and Paul and John and Matthew, Mark and Luke. We always talked about Judas and Jesus. We always talked about, I never know. Yeah, go read in your Bible. Amen. There was a man by the name of Jason and all of his house and those that were with him. Amen. They said the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders of that day saw them coming to town and they said, oh no. They began to get fearful and they said, these are they which have turned the world upside down. Why? It was because of what they were preaching, that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, and he came to heal, and he came to forgive, and he came to save. The part that they didn't like is when Jason would say, you guys were the one who put him on the cross, and these guys want to be delivered from you. Yeah, they didn't like that, because that meant they weren't going to get a good offering no more. At the synagogue, they weren't going to get a good offering anymore. So we got to do something about the house of Jason. Because they are turning. And look at this. They came into one city. But their ideology, the religious leader's ideology, was such that they made the statement, these are they that have turned the world upside down. And as all they were doing was turning the city upside down with the doctrine and the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves, delivers, and heals. What could happen if we got that kind of Jesus? What would happen if we got that kind of Jesus? Amen. Amen. Verse 23. Now Jesus makes a statement that really stands out. And it's verse number 23. And he said, blessed is he. And I preached this the other night. And I told you I was going to come back and get on it again. And so here I am. Amen. He says, blessed is he. Whosoever shall not be offended in me. This scripture really stands out. He names all of these things that are going to happen. Amen. Or that are happening there. And then Jesus says, you tell John, don't be offended in me. Why did he say that? Because I believe that John knew of the prophecy that was spoken in Isaiah chapter number 61, where it said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because Jesus Christ did stand up in the synagogue and speak these very words, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. He was saying, that's what I'm doing, John. That's what I'm doing. But John also knew the last part of that. And the last part of that says, and the opening of prison doors to them that are bound. I have a feeling that while John was sitting there going over everything, he was remembering Isaiah chapter number 61. And he was going, this Messiah said he would open up the prison doors. I wonder if he's going to open up my prison door. But that's where I believe that Jesus came in and said, don't be offended in me, because I'm not going to. Can you handle that if Jesus says, no, that one's not going to happen. John, you're right where I need you to be. You've done everything that I've needed you to do. Are you okay? You see, that's the problem with most of us. We ask God for things, and sometimes God says no.
Right.
We act just like some of the 2 and 3 year olds that we try to train up when we tell them no. Yeah. Instead of saying, okay, you know what's best.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah. He said, no, don't be offended in me, John. Everything's happening just like it's supposed to. Everything's A-okay, John. Don't be offended in me. Just because you have preached that there's one that's going to open prison doors. I am he. But this time, John, you're right where you need to be.
That's pretty hard.
I obviously don't know what was going on in John's mind. But I can't help but wonder if he was waiting. Waiting, even when his disciples came back and said that the lame are walking, the blind are seeing, the dead are being raised, and he was like, and? Come on, tell me that last one! And he did. But God, blessed is he that's not offended in me.